Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Ketan Mehta. He is the founder and CEO of Tris Pharma, which is a biopharmaceutical company based in Monmouth Junction. Ketan, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for taking the time to do this. Now, I was interested in speaking with you today because I know your company is developing a new treatment for chronic pain that could actually also help alleviate the opioid addiction crisis, and I want to hear all about that. But first, I'd just like to give our viewers a little bit of background about your company. As far as I read, it was founded in 2000 in your basement, if I recall correctly. Tell us a little bit about where the company came from, how it's grown, and where it is now.
Well, but you're right. Thank you very much for getting all my little details there. But yes, I started the company in 2000, right in my basement, right in Jersey here. In fact, in Westminster, started the company. So I'm a scientist by education and also spent some time working in commercial B2B space in pharma industry.
Right.
I saw that there is a need to develop some unique technologies, which really addresses a lot of unmet needs in the industry. And really, that was the idea, that how I can contribute on a meaningful way, forge an identity, something that I can build. And that led me to founding the company. And so here we are after 23 years, bit by bit, we have grown to become a decent-sized large company. You can say a mid-sized large pharmaceutical company
right
here in Jersey.
Good. Well, sounds good. All right. So tell me about the new pain treatment. I mean, obviously, our viewers, I'm sure most of them are aware of how deadly the opioid crisis is and how horrible the addiction can be. What got you started down this path? I mean, was it simply recognizing that this was a real problem that you could do something about? I mean, how did you decide that this was something you needed to pursue?
No, I think so. This is a little bit of a serendipity. I think we were looking for always the right opportunity. And this is a drug that came to my attention where what we saw as an opportunity to really address this opioid epidemic. Because today what has happened is that no other large pharma company is investing in the pain. And when you look at the pain, there has been no new medication has been approved, which has a different mechanism, unique mechanism. And we saw with this drug an opportunity to address pain with a minimal euphoria, minimal abuse potential, et cetera.
Okay.
So when we understood the science, I thought I had to really take opportunity and really try to develop this drug.
Okay. I'm not going to try to pronounce the drug. I'm really bad at these names, but I'll let you pronounce
it.
It is a
little bit of a tongue twister initially.
Right.
Takes a little bit of a practice. It's called Sabranapadol.
There you go.
Okay.
But
it was developed in Germany by a large company. They are supposed to be pain specialists. Mm-hmm. And they kind of were looking for a partner who can really take it to the next level. And that's where, when we looked at it, as I told you, that we thought this was going to be a great treatment, an opportunity to address one of the huge, large unmet needs.
Okay. Now, my understanding is you've had some positive test results. Can you tell us about those and where you are now in the development process?
Yes. So actually, you know, as part of this testing, one of the testing we have to do is what is the abuse potential of this drug?
Right.
And this is a test that we had to do in a very narrow setting, but by our choice, we wanted to compare against some of the least abusable drug and highly abusable drug, and also against the placebo. So we did a test the way FDA would like us to do. And what we came back with was better than expected result, that this drug has a least abusive, addictive, and euphoric properties than any of the other drug which treat pain.
Okay.
And there are weak opioids, which are very loosely addictive and all that. This has a very strong pain effect. Pain relief, actually, at one level, and still has a very minimal, small, or rather negligible addictive properties.
Okay.
So we think this is going to be a foundation for us to really showcase all this data. I mean, we still have a lot of testing to do. As you know, the FDA process takes several years.
Right.
So we'll be in a few years. We will be hopefully at a point where we can start talking really much more much more, I would say, in a focused manner, presenting to scientists and so forth, physicians. And I think we'll be going and commercializing drug from there.
Okay. So it's a few years away. What I hear you saying is, A, it's effective against pain, but B, it's not addictive, which means that folks could take it without fear of becoming hooked on it and unable to get away from it. Am I right about that?
That's right. That is the our goal, and to demonstrate using the data, convince FDA that even though it has a certain opioid pain relief properties, it is really a different kind of a drug. It is a different kind of a drug which is not going to cause the usual issues that we have seen in the past. And, you know, FDA is actually skeptical about these things lately, which rightfully so, because there have been in the past promises given by companies and they have not materialized. So we will be really focusing on the data, presenting data, and then lead them saying, look, why we think this is really a new invention, so to say.
Okay. Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you about was, are there other, do you have any rivals or competitors in this space? Or is this, you would think that because of the severity and the truly terrible nature of the opioid crisis, that there would be a lot of research like this. What is it like out there? I mean, is it a crowded field at this point?
No, unfortunately not. And well, in a way it is good from a commercial standpoint, but from a patient perspective, you would like to have everybody pursuing this. I mean, just to give you an idea, right now, if you look at the pain trial being conducted, there are less than 5,000 across the spectrum, early phase, late phase, et cetera. If you look at something like cancer treatment, there are like 25,000 clinical trials going on. So it just tells you that there is very minimal right now. Companies are really not focusing on this area because of this, what this history has taken, and the mechanisms are really challenging. Now, there are some new mechanisms, but they're 10, 15 years away, and we will not be seeing them for a while. So we think this is something that we want to take up the challenge and see if we can address this need.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. That what I hear you saying is that the mechanism of actually alleviating pain is a really hard thing to get to. Is that right?
That's correct. And also meaning, if you're going to do it, you have to go through this what you call opioid paths. But if you create this opioid path, the challenge is that how are you going to make it safe and non-addictive and so forth. And that's where I think Holy Grail is. And we want to focus on that.
Okay. Now, there's been, as I'm sure you're aware, a lot of talk of for example, legalized cannabis as not a solution to the problem, but something that would alleviate it. But that what I'm hearing is that it's not quite as effective as that mechanism of alleviating pain is not quite as effective. Is that right?
There is no data that has really established that without the side effect and the addictive nature and euphoric nature and so forth.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of talk about it. There's also a lot of issues with that. I would rather not go there because it's still wild, wild west there, the cannabis related. But there is an opportunity from what we understand, but we are not focusing on that.
Right.
We think we have something that is really going to be unique.
Right. I'm just comparing it to some of the other things that are out there that we've heard about. I'm curious about the size of the market. I think some of the materials I've read from your company show that there are at least 50 million Americans who suffer from some sort of chronic pain. That sounds like a lot. Again, I'm curious as to how you view that market and why there aren't why there isn't more attention being paid to it.
I think so. So you're absolutely right. The need is just overwhelming at one level. And what has happened that because of this epidemic, opioid epidemic, there is less and less prescription of opioid, which is good in a way, but it does not address the need for that. There are no other treatment. And because when you look at the top 20 companies, except for one, none of the companies are developing drugs for pain. And the one which is developing, it is going to be mediocre at best in terms of its potential as a pain relief. Okay, so what is, because of this epidemic issue and the way the heavy handoff and regulation has taken place, companies are walking away. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the opportunity for a company like us to feel that need for the patient, because the opportunity is, I mean, market is big, but I think of the patient. You are somebody who is suffering from this. And we have this huge baby boomer population now getting above 65. They will be needing all these things. We need relief. And that's where we think the the market and the dollar will follow, but we need to focus on the patient, the safety profile, talk about the data, and I think everything else would be good, I would like to think.
Right. Well, I think you're right. I mean, it seems to me, I mean, I know people who suffer from chronic pain, and it can be extraordinarily debilitating. Again, the idea that this kind of work isn't more common is kind of shocking to me.
Yeah, no, and then again, because of the way this has gone, with the epidemic and how some companies were legitimately challenged and questioned, while some companies were really crucified because of just we take this heavy-handed approach, and that has unfortunately discouraged a lot of companies from developing this drug. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, I know your company is also involved in other other conditions, other treatments. Is there anything else you can tell us about that's exciting that's coming down the line?
Yes, I think one of the passion that I have is really on the what I call the challenges of the spectrum disorder, autism, for example, the ADHD, which is not so much on the spectrum. And Tris is commercializing four products for ADHD, for example, using our proprietary technology that we have developed.
Okay, well, that's certainly interesting. Just in general, I'm curious about your assessment of the economy, what it's like doing business in New Jersey. You mentioned you were founded in a basement in New Jersey 23 years ago. The state is proudly wears the moniker of medicine chest to the world. You're part of that. What is it like for you doing business in New Jersey, and how do you see the future?
No, I think New Jersey has, as you very well said, I think there's about, what, 500,000 at least people focused in healthcare. And so I think there is a vast talent pool at one level. And it is really easy to recruit the people to pharmaceutical companies, because pharmaceutical companies, just like many companies in the state, we need more specialized pool of, educated pool of workers. For example, we have about 350 people right here in New Jersey that work at Tris location, and about 200 of them are involved in manufacturing, testing, R&D, et cetera.
Right.
And you need a very talented pool at one level. At other level, New Jersey is also home to me and my kid. My kids grew up here, and it's a very diverse state.
Absolutely.
Very much at home. As somebody who came as a student from India, I feel very much at home in New Jersey. So I think look, it's a lot to offer. Shore is not too far. I think we have a rich history here, and then of course the talent pool. So I can't really complain about anything, and we are able to grow relatively quickly because of that.
Right. And from where you are, you're right between two major research universities. So I'm sure there's a pipeline right down Route 1 for you.
That's correct. And I think we've been we have a lot of Rutgers graduates. In fact, Rutgers is when he's playing here, there's a little party atmosphere at times. Everybody's wearing Rutgers shirts and whatnot, and it is really fun. Yeah. We are in South Brunswick, which is a little bit not too far from North Brunswick. And it's really fun being here.
Okay, very good. Well, I hope you come back and let us know about the pain medication develops and some of the other ones, and tell us a little bit about how you're doing. That'd be great.
I would love to. It would be a great pleasure, in fact, to come back and tell you and more about. And really, you do a great year talking to all the right business leaders. So thank you for inviting us today here.
Oh, well, thank you, Ketan Mehta, the founder and CEO of Tris Pharma. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.